You're listening to the Option Alpha podcast from OptionAlpha.com, where we show you how to make smarter trades, learn how the stock market really works, and generate consistent monthly income. Now, your host and head trader at OptionAlpha.com, Kirk Duplessis.
Hey everyone, this is Kirk here again at OptionAlpha.com, working every single week to make this the most popular podcast offered online because it's based on one thing and one thing only, and that's helping you make smarter trades. So thanks again for tuning in. And today what we're going to talk about is learning how options work by using some simulated real estate deals. So I've often found in coaching hundreds of people over the last couple of years that using stuff that we're relevant and understand, meaning real estate, something that's tangible that we've all kind of experienced in some way or shape or form, but using real estate as a good segue to learning the basics of how options work. So this is going to be much more of a beginner type podcast. I really want to start out with some really key foundational stuff, and we're going to be getting into a lot of these foundational elements every other week or so just to kind of make sure that everyone is on track with the same thing. So in today's podcast, what we're going to talk about are, again, learning with these real estate deals, but we're going to look at specifically a call option example with a house. So a $100,000 house, and we're going to kind of go through a scenario and a story there to understand how a call option works. And then on the other side, we're going to learn how a put option works with an insurance contract on a house. So understanding the opposite side of the call trade and looking at a put option and how that works. And as always, if you guys have any comments or questions, you can just go over to optionalpha.com/show3. Again, that's show 3, the number 3. There'll be all the show notes, comments, some video tutorials in there as well, so you guys can do some further studying. And as always, go ahead and drop by iTunes, leave us a comment, get us started here with this new podcast. So like I said, let's go over first our example with a call option and then using a house or real estate for the purposes of understanding how a call option works. So let's just, again, start with a very simple story here. So you're going out and you are looking at a house in your neighborhood that you're interested in buying, right? So you go down the street and you talk to that lady that owns a house, or husband and wife own the house, whatever the case is. And you tell the seller, you say, well, hi, I'm interested in buying your house. And the house right now is worth $100,000. Okay, so just to make things really easy, very simple math. Right now, the house is worth $100,000. But for whatever reason, you don't have the money to either buy the house or put the down payment and do a mortgage, whatever the case is. So what you're going to do is you're going to go to that seller and say, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, I'd love to buy your house. It's worth $100,000 right now. What I want to do is I want to buy this house for $100,000 from you anytime in the next year. Okay. And so I want to basically have you take this house off the market and guarantee that you're going to sell it to me anytime in the next year. So I have the choice, or quote unquote, the option to buy your house anytime in the next year at $100,000. Now, obviously, the seller is going to say something like, well, you know, that's great, but we want to sell the house now. So what are you going to give us in return for giving you this choice to sell our house to you anytime in the next year? And you might do something like give them a deposit or some consideration of about $5,000. Okay, so let's just use $5,000 as our deposit on the house. So if we give them $5,000, then that is their guarantee that they are going to get $5,000 in exchange for taking their house off the market and giving you and only you the option to buy the house at $100,000 anytime in the next year. So they take the $5,000, you outlay the $5,000. Now, if your goal obviously is to make money on this house, is it an investment? Okay, there's really only really two or three things that are going to happen. Okay, so let's go through all of those different scenarios using this contract that you've now written with the sellers to buy their house anytime in the next year for $100,000. So in scenario one, let's say over the course of the next year that property values actually go down in that neighborhood. So You know, things happen, drugs, crime, whatever the case is, a big employer leaves. But generally, property values go down in that neighborhood. Now, that house that was worth $100,000 is now worth, on the open market or like fair value, is now worth somewhere around $80,000. Okay, so it's gone down about $20,000 in value. If you're in this situation, you would, as a smart investor, actually not execute your agreement with the seller, because remember at the beginning, you had a choice to buy the house or not anytime in the next year. So at the end of this year and the market's gone down in that area and that house is now worth $80,000, you're going to go back to the seller and say, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, I was very interested in the house originally, but currently I'm actually not so interested in the house because it's worth about $80,000 and I'm not going to logically pay you $100,000 for a property that is worth $80,000. Okay, so just let that sink in for a second. A little bit of a hard concept, but it makes sense, right? You're not going to pay $100,000 for a house that's worth $80,000. So in that case, you're going to walk away from the contract. Now, that doesn't mean that you actually walked away without losing a bunch of money. What it does mean is that you did lose your $5,000 deposit that you put on the house, right? That $5,000 that you put up originally basically helped kind of lock down that property so that you could make this choice that you just made to walk away from the house in the future. So that $5,000 is gone. You did lose the $5,000, but hey, that's way better than buying the house originally at $100,000 and having it be worth about $80,000 and losing $20,000. Okay, so in that case, you're better off to do something like this with a real estate deal or like an option contract on a stock, because your downside is limited to just the initial investment that you had. So in this case, that initial investment is very similar to the premium that you would pay for a call option on a stock. All right, so scenario two. Scenario one that we just went through, the property value goes down and declines. Scenario two is that the house is actually worth about $100,000, or basically no movement in the value over the last year. So in this case, you want to buy the house for $100,000. You've already put up $5,000 in cost. So you really have the choice. You could still buy the house for $100,000. You're getting it at the same price. But over the course of a year, you've wasted $5,000 tying down this property that had no value movement at all. Okay. So even though you still get the house for the same price, you still buy the house for $100,000. That was your contract with the seller. You actually are going to lose money net because you had to spend $5,000 to keep this house under contract for the entire year. Okay. So that's if there's no value movement at all. So that leads us into now the third scenario, which helps us then determine at what price point we need the house to appreciate in value to really make a strong return on our investment. Okay, so if the house is worth $100,000 and we put $5,000 into the house, then that means that we need the house in the future, in this third scenario, the house in the future has to be worth at least $105,000 or more for us to make money on this trade or for us to make a good investment. Okay, so we add the price of the house, which is $100,000. We add that to the deposit that we paid the seller, which is $5,000, and that gets us a break-even point of $105,000 on the house in the future. Okay, so now let's say that in the future, the house is now worth $125,000. So it's a year further down the road. Now some big employers came in, they found gold in the backyard, whatever the case is. Now the house is worth $125,000. So now you are going to go to your seller and say, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, I would like to execute our agreement that I would buy your house anytime in the next year. I want to buy this house for $100,000 from you because that's what our agreement was. And even though I put $5,000 into the deal, I now have a house that I bought for $100,000. I put $5,000 into it and it's worth $125,000. So at the end of the day, what I'm basically looking at is I'm looking at a total profit of about $20,000 after my initial investment. So in that case, this is where the example of using a call option on a house like real estate, like when you go and buy a house like real estate, is a really good example, because with a call option, you have downside protection, right? You are only limited to losing just your initial deposit. So you're controlling this massive, massive asset for very, very little money. And even though you have very limited downside, you do have a lot of upside potential, right? If the house continues to go up in value, you've already locked in with the sellers that you're going to buy that house for $100,000. And it only took $5,000 of actual money to tie up that asset or that piece of real estate. So you didn't have to have $100,000 in cash. You had to have very little money to control that asset. Okay, so it's a really, really good concept and a good segue. Hopefully that makes sense. As we start to look at option contracts, then these price points that we were looking at will become more relevant. Okay, so in this example with real estate, the price that we agreed to with the sellers obviously is $100,000. That becomes, in the options trading world, your strike price. So I always say in coaching, that's where you strike a deal. Okay, what price are you going to buy or sell the stock or the real estate or the security or anything? The $5,000 that you gave them initially becomes the option premium. So in this case, it was a debit on your side because you paid that. For them, as the sellers, the house sellers or the option sellers, it becomes a credit on their side. So they took in a $5,000 premium. And we already talked about our break even and our max loss and all of that stuff going through the different scenarios. But what we didn't talk about is the timeline. So I originally said initially that I would buy their house anytime in the next year. So that becomes our expiration period for an option contract. Now, most option contracts actually have monthly or weekly expirations. You can go out a year, you can go out 6 months. There's even some options that go out, you know, longer than a year, 2, 3, 4 years, etc. But this whole concept of real estate is really, really easy to explain, hopefully for you guys, because it's something that you know, right? It's tangible. You know house values and prices and stuff like that. So it's very easy to relate that to stocks. You just have to come back to this real estate example. Okay, so let's move on and let's talk about a put option example with an insurance contract on the house that you just bought. Okay, so this is going to be a little bit different, but I always find that doing insurance contracts is a really, really easy segue for understanding how options work. So let's take that same house example that we had. So now you're in the house, and let's just say you got it for $100,000. So forget everything else we talked about. But the house right now is worth $100,000, and that's what you've got, you know, kind of invested in the house. So obviously you want to protect your investment, and you go to the insurance company and you say, "Mr. or Mrs. Insurance Company, I would like to get insurance on this house in case it burns to the ground, or there's a, you know, wind damage or flood or hurricane, whatever the case is." So you go to them and you say, "I'd like to insure up to $80,000 of the house's value." Okay. So if the house burns to the ground, I want to get paid $80,000 of the value that I have invested in it. I don't want to protect the whole house, but I want to protect, you know, kind of 80% of it. So $80,000 of my $100,000 investment in the house. And the insurance company says, "Sure, no problem. We can absolutely do that for you. And it will cost you $2,000 per year to invest or to get insurance on this house." So what happens is you pay the insurance company $2,000 right now, and you get protection for the entire year. So going back to kind of relating this to options, that $2,000 investment that you pay the insurance company is your option premium. It is a debit for you because you paid it, and it is a credit for the insurance company because they are the put option seller in this example. Now, they've said that they will give you protection for an entire year. That becomes your expiration period. So they will give you protection for the entire year. So if the house does burn down, and let's kind of go through some scenarios here. Let's say the house burns down completely to the ground. In that case, you would have paid out $2,000, but you would have made $80,000 because that's what the insurance contract would pay you back on your investment. Okay, so they would give you $80,000 because that's how much they said they would give you if the house burned to the ground. but initially you had to pay out $2,000. So the net amount of money that you would have made should the house burn down is only $78,000. Okay, so we take the $80,000 that they paid you, we subtract out the $2,000 that you paid them originally, and that gets our net profit of $78,000. Okay, so that's the example in case the house completely burns to the ground. Now, in the other example, let's say the whole year goes by and hopefully nothing happens, but nothing happens with the house. There's no wind storms, there's no hurricanes, no tornadoes, house doesn't burn to the ground. And at the end of the year, the house is still sitting there just as it was the year before, worth $100,000. Well, at this point, you have paid the insurance company for coverage for an entire year. Now, many of you who own a house, right? If nothing happens, that doesn't mean that the insurance company comes back to you and says, hey, by the way, you know, nothing happened, so here's the money back that you paid us, right? No, they don't do that. So they're going to keep that money because they did have protection over that course of the year, and now you've lost $2,000 on your investment in the house, okay? Now, it's not to say that it's lost. You had protection, but in that kind of second scenario here where the house doesn't, nothing happens to the house, you're down $2,000 and you might try to re-up that contract the next year and get some protection on the house. Now, at the end of the day, this is much, much better than if you did nothing, right? And so this is why options are so powerful when it relates to stocks, because if you own that house outright, so going back to the real estate example, if you own that house outright and did not have any insurance on the house and the house burnt to the ground, you'd lose $100,000, okay? If the house burnt to the ground, you'd make back $78,000 of that $100,000 investment. So by using $2,000, just a very small portion of money, you were able to protect a larger portion of your investment. And that's a good way to use options in the market. And that's why people have had so much success with them, is because they allow us to use a little bit of money to then control or protect a large asset like stock, okay? And that's how most option contracts work. So in this example with the insurance, and the insurance is a put option, which is protecting the downside risk of the house going down in value. This would be very similar to buying a put to protect or profit from a stock going down in value. So just like real estate, if the stock goes down in value, you could make money or protect your investment that you have in that stock. So hopefully these were two really, really good examples today. Just to get, again, build the foundation of understanding how options work and how they relate to real estate. I use real estate a lot in coaching. It's something very familiar to me and to my family and to my wife. So hopefully this really helped kind of lay the foundation for how some of the basic options work with calls and puts with these real estate transactions.
Now, the closing bell. Find out which stocks we're looking at right now, trades we're making, and hear our game plan moving forward.
All right, so in today's closing bell, what I want to talk about is actually some of the telecom and technology stocks that are moving right now. So at the time that we're doing this podcast, one of the ones that we just got into that's very, very interesting play is actually Verizon, ticker symbol VZ. Now, Verizon actually had great earnings back in late July, early August, kind of rallied right at the event of, or at earnings announcement, had a huge pop, but then since has dropped back down. So it kind of popped up to around 53, then in a matter of about 4 or 5 days, dropped all the way down to 49, which is a huge drop for the stock right after earnings. Again, just showing that nobody really knows what's going to happen. Even though a stock has great earnings, it could drop right afterwards, right? But right now, Verizon's kind of formed a really, really solid base and is starting to move higher. We've gotten some good signals from MACD and CCI and Stochastics. So what we did on the membership side of our blog is went ahead and bought a call spread in Verizon. So trying to take advantage of that move higher in the stock going forward. Some of the other ones that are some of the big telecom names, AT&T, very, very similar movement, had almost the exact same movement that Verizon did with earnings. I definitely think it's going to be one that should continue to move higher over the course of the next couple of weeks. And then some technology stocks. Priceline is one that we're definitely going to be watching. Has had a really, really rough month. We possibly might get into some debit spreads or some calendars, directionally trading Priceline higher, hoping that it might go above 1200 again as far as price. It's a very big stock. Priceline's a very big stock as far as its cost to get into, but the options are extremely liquid, which makes it a great vehicle to trade going forward. And then some other ones like Twitter. Twitter has been on a really, really good run since May, has continued to move higher and higher. So we're going to get into a couple trades in Twitter. Again, do some maybe calendar spreads or some debit spreads. Because implied volatility is still low, we don't want to get into anything that has to do with selling option premium. We don't want to get into any call spreads or calendars or strangles. And especially, we don't want to get into any of those as we have earnings coming up on the horizon. So we do have earnings on the horizon for Twitter and Priceline and some of these other ones. And we'll definitely use those events to make some single earnings trades. But leading into those earnings trades, we can take advantage of the move up in implied volatility by playing some of these debit spreads and calendars. So as always, I hope you guys really enjoyed today's podcast and show. And again, I just want you guys to get one thing out of it that you can apply right now to make you a more smarter, profitable trader and investor. And hopefully that example using real estate really kind of laid the foundation if you're new to options trading. As always, you can find any additional show notes, comments, some videos that we're going to throw up there and that we're going to talk about today, just using some more examples here with understanding how options work, by going to optionalpha.com/show3. That's optionalpha.com/show3, just the number 3. It'll take you right there. Until next time, happy trading.
Thanks for listening to the Option Alpha podcast. If you liked what you heard, please drop by iTunes and leave a rating or comment. Plus, you can get everything: free email updates for future shows, transcripts, video tutorials, case studies, and more. Just visit our website at optionalpha.com.